Good morning. I am so thankful and excited that you have joined me today for Sunday morning with Love in Action. I hope you're having a great weekend and that your Sunday is going well, and I hope you are ready to get into the Word with me this morning. Today we are going to kick off a three-part series about disciple making, and we're going to talk a lot about the Great Commission. Before we get into the Word, though, let's go to our Heavenly Father in prayer. Father God, what an awesome opportunity it is to proclaim your good news across the airways and across the internet, Lord, throughout this world, Lord. And we give you praise for that, Lord. Lord, I thank you for the Joy FM and for the ministry of the Joy FM. And Lord, just continue to bless this ministry, Father God. And Lord, we thank you for your word, Lord. You give us everything we need to know. We just have to open it up and start reading and start studying your word. Lord, help us to do that. Father, we thank you most of all for your son, Jesus, the salvation that you give us. And I pray, Father, that if there is anyone listening today who does not know you, Jesus, as their Savior and Lord, I pray today will be the day they call out to you. For you tell us that if we call upon your name and confess you as Lord Jesus, and believe in our hearts that you died for us, that you rose again on the third day, then we shall be saved. So, Lord, I just pray for each person, Lord. And, Lord, may every believer, Lord, may we be true disciples of yours. May we fulfill your great commission. And I just pray that you bless this time, Lord, that we have together studying your word this morning. Lord, I ask you to speak through me. And may you be glorified. For it's in your name, Lord Jesus, we pray. Amen. So part one of disciple making today is going to talk about the first part of the Great Commission. And we're going to look at the overall process of disciple making over the next 3 weeks. And let's start out by reading the Great Commission. Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." Now, this is not the great suggestion. It is the Great Commission. This is Jesus' assignment to his disciples. And so he wanted to be crystal clear what their mission was as he was about to ascend to heaven. And he told them, and he's telling all of us who are believers, that we are to go out, tell people about him, tell people about the good news of Jesus Christ, his life, his death, his burial, and his resurrection. How we can have forgiveness of our sins and be brought back into relationship with our Heavenly Father through Jesus and through Jesus alone. I read something recently in the Jesus Bible. And the Jesus Bible it's a Bible. It's a regular Bible, but there's commentary in there showing how Scripture from the Old Testament on is pointing to Jesus and about Jesus being the Messiah and his gospel, his good news. There was an excellent piece written about the Great Commission, and I wanted to read it to you. The heading of this commentary is Jesus' Assignment to His Disciples, and it reads, "The Great Commission, verses 19 through 20, is a command that rests on the authority of Christ, described in the preceding verse. The phrase, 'Go, make disciples,' is commonly spoken among believers, but it is important to note the word 'therefore' that comes between. Followers of Jesus are expected to go and make disciples solely because of who Jesus is and with the power and authority that he has been given in verse 18. Jesus has all authority in heaven and earth, and he doesn't give this authority without empowering his followers to go and tell others about who he is. The Great Commission is not the first call for world evangelism in the Bible. In fact, in Genesis 12, verses 1 through 3, describes God's promise that Abraham and his descendants would be a blessing to all nations. Jesus was simply building on what God had already told his people long before. Believers are expected to share the true and life-giving story of Jesus to every nation far and wide. This command has always been true for people who follow Jesus. Jesus' command involves a simple three-step process: go, baptize, and teach. Within this phrase, Jesus clarified exactly what he expects of his followers. They are to first go and tell others about him so that others can know and understand his story. Then they are to baptize those who have heard the story so that they can publicly declare their belief in who he is. Finally, believers need to teach and encourage one another. Believers will never stop teaching each other and learning about the nature of God. The command to go, baptize, and teach was Jesus' last command in the book of Matthew, and it is of the utmost importance for followers of Jesus. However, Jesus did not ask his disciples to do so alone. He promised that although he was leaving them physically, he would always be with them through his Spirit. As long as believers hold fast to Jesus and rely on the Holy Spirit, the pathway is open for his followers to do what they have been called to do. That's a great synopsis of the Great Commission. Jesus is telling us to go, tell others about him, baptize people, and make disciples. And that's what our three parts are going to be about. Today is going to be about going. The next week, we're going to talk about baptizing. And then the third week, we will talk about teaching, all that he has commanded us to teach. So this was his final command that he gave his disciples in the Gospel of Matthew. And those apostles and those early Christians, the early disciples in the book of Acts, carried out that Great Commission to the T. And because they did, the gospel is still here today. And others have picked up the Great Commission after them and carried it generation after generation. But the sad fact is, the majority of people in churches throughout the U.S. just simply don't know what the Great Commission is. I shared this before, but I want to share it again because it is worth sharing once again. There was a study conducted by Barna in 2018 of U.S. churches, and 51% of churchgoers say they do not know this term, the Great Commission. 51%. So you think, well, the other 49% know it, so it's kind of half and half. Well, we would be wrong with that assumption. 25% said it rings a bell. 6% said they simply weren't sure that they've heard about the Great Commission before, or that phrase, Great Commission. Only 17% of churchgoers in the U.S. were familiar with the Great Commission. Now, that's totally unacceptable. Totally unacceptable. We have to do much better than that. So over these next 3 weeks, we are going to look at those three parts that I mentioned. And today, again, we're going to look at the command to go. In his Great Commission, Jesus clearly tells us to go. So theologically, let's look at what that means. It means to go. Go and tell the world about Jesus. Tell people within our circle of influence about Jesus, family, friends, people we come in contact with every day. Tell people, show people Jesus. So being a Christian doesn't mean we go to church once a week or once a month or even two times a week and just sit there. He wants us to, yes, let's worship together with one another. Let's study the Word together. But then let's go out and tell others about him. And we read the Great Commission in Matthew chapter 28. And it's repeated in Mark 16, verse 15. And he said to them, go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole creation. Go to all the world. In the Great Commission, we say, go to all nations, and that's all people groups. People groups throughout this world. And Jesus is clearly telling us what we're supposed to do. And so to make disciples, the first thing we have to do is tell people about them. You can't make a disciple without first telling somebody about Jesus and them making that decision to follow him. In Luke chapter 24, verses 46 through 47, Jesus said to them, "Thus it is written that the Christ should suffer, and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance for forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations beginning in Jerusalem." We need to proclaim his gospel. What is the gospel? It's good news. It's the best news ever. I spent 22 years in journalism. Loved it. It was a great career. My staff and I told many great stories, but nothing, absolutely nothing that we reported or that any other media has reported in history comes close to this news that Jesus Christ is the only Son of God, and he has come to bring us back into fellowship with the Father. Sin, disobedience, separated us from God. But Jesus came, he took the punishment for us, took the wrath of God for us, and offers us forgiveness. Because he arose from the grave, we don't have to die, spiritually speaking. We can live with him forever. If we choose not to, then hell will be the destination. But I pray that everyone within the sound of my voice will give their lives to Jesus and live eternally with him, as he promised we will if we will just believe. So we're to proclaim his name to all nations, and beginning in Jerusalem. Well, for those of us who don't live in Jerusalem, then wherever our hometown is our Jerusalem. So wherever you are living at right now, that's where you have to begin sharing Jesus. And now he does tell us to go elsewhere. Go to other parts of the region where you live. Go throughout the U.S. Everywhere you go, whether you're on vacation, you're on a business trip, or you're on a mission trip, let people know about Jesus. Let them see it in the way we live. Let them hear it from our mouths about Jesus, about his goodness, about his forgiveness, about his grace and mercy, his love, and his gift of forgiveness and eternal life. Now, some people are nervous about evangelism, because that's what we're talking about. We're talking about evangelism. And evangelism is not just for a person who is called an evangelist. Now, there are different giftings, and those who are evangelists have that gift of going out and telling the masses about Jesus. But all of us who are followers of Christ are called to be evangelists, because we are to evangelize, to go, to tell people about Jesus, show people his love. And so people get nervous about that, like, I can't do that. Well, yes, you can. Don't listen to the lie of the enemy, because Satan will tell you time and time again that you can't do it or nobody wants to hear it. Don't believe anything that he says, because Jesus says for you to go, says for me to go. And he makes some wonderful promises. Right there at the end of the Great Commission, he says he is with us always to the end of the age. Always. He is always with us. But he also empowers us. Acts 1, verse 8, Jesus is about to ascend to heaven. He's about to physically leave his disciples. But he says, I must go so I can send the promise. The promise is the Holy Spirit. So that way Jesus can live in all of us because of his Spirit. And he tells them in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea, Samaria, and to the end of the earth. So Jesus is with you and me right in our hometown. And he is empowering us with the Holy Spirit to be his witnesses, to tell others what he has done in our lives. We all have a testimony. I like to share my testimony with people because it shows the love, the power, the forgiveness of Jesus. And it shows transformation in my life. Not what I've done, but what Jesus has done in me. And we all have a testimony. And there's three parts to a testimony. Life before Jesus, before we came to Jesus. What was our life like? when we came to Jesus, what was going on in our lives when that happened? How did that happen? And then the third part is life after we've come to Jesus and surrendered to his lordship. And we see and talk about that transformation. And people who know you, it means something to them. We can talk about the Bible with them, and that would definitely mean something to them. But for somebody who don't understand the Bible, who never read the Bible, it may not mean as much to them right then as your own personal testimony. But a powerful thing about God's word, when you speak it forth, it does not return void. It accomplishes what it sets out to do. So Jesus empowers us. Therefore, we can carry out his command, his great commission, to go. When Jesus was here on earth and his 3 years of ministry that's recorded in Scripture, he is constantly showing his disciples, teaching them what to do. And in Matthew chapter 9, verses 1 through 2, he called the 12 together, the 12 disciples that he called, and gave them power and authority over all demons and to curse diseases. And he sent them out to proclaim the kingdom of God and to heal. So see, right there, he was sending his disciples out saying, look, I'm empowering you right now. You're going out and you're going to proclaim the kingdom of God and you're going to heal people. Well, he's going to heal people through them, but he said, you're going to proclaim the kingdom of God and heal. And many people were healed, and the kingdom of God was proclaimed. And so he was kind of priming them, if you will, giving them a foreshadowing of what was to come. So he was already sending them out and teaching them what to do before they went out. So when he gave the Great Commission before he ascended to heaven, they understood it, and they were able to carry out his Great Commission. Throughout the Old Testament, God is telling his people to make his name known. So this isn't just something new in the New Testament. This is something God has been wanting his people to do ever since the beginning, was to tell people about him. And when the New Testament comes into play with Jesus after his death, burial, and resurrection, then that good news is, come to Jesus, and he will bring you back into relation with the Father. And so we're proclaiming, lifting high the name of Jesus. And God is a triune God. He's God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. So as we proclaim the gospel, the good news, we are making God's name known. But let's look at a couple of verses in the Old Testament. There's many others, but because of time, we're going to look at these two. Psalms 105, verse 1. Oh, give thanks to the Lord. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the people. See, when we proclaim the gospel, when we're sharing our testimony, we are making known God's deeds in our lives among the peoples, as we read right there in Psalms 105. So God was already telling his people to do this. Tell people about him. Tell about his deeds, what he's done in our lives. Then in Isaiah chapter 12, verse 4, and you will say in that day, give thanks to the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the peoples, proclaim that his name is exalted. Again, make known his name. Exalt his name. Give him all praise, all honor, all glory, all your worship. Make his name known and give thanks. Don't forget to give thanks to God for his son, Jesus, and for everything God is, God has done, and that he's going to do, because all of his promises in his word, you can be guaranteed that it's going to happen. And so much of it already has. We're just waiting on the return of Christ, the second coming. What's such an awesome aspect of going and proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ is we get to represent Jesus, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, Almighty God himself. And what an incredible, unbelievable opportunity, honor this is. The Apostle Paul knew that. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, I'm sorry, chapter 5, 2 Corinthians 5, verse 20, Paul writes, "Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ to be reconciled to God." We are ambassadors, representatives of Christ. There's nothing better than that. Think about being an ambassador of the United States. And if you are an ambassador of the U.S., you go to other countries and you represent the U.S. What people see there and hear from you there, that's their thoughts of the U.S. We get to be ambassadors, representatives for God. That is so awesome. The Most High God, the creator of this world, this universe, all creation, is making his appeal through those of us who are believers. That is just mind-blowing, that God, he doesn't need us, but he wants to because we're his children and he wants to make his appeal through us. And that is just so incredible. Let that truth sink in. And that will encourage you even more to go out and fulfill his great commission. Tell people they can be reconciled to God through Jesus Christ. So why is evangelism so important? Mark 16, verse 16, "Whoever believes," this is Jesus speaking, "whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned." If you believe, you will be saved. You will have everlasting life with Jesus Christ. And since he is the life, he will give you life right here on earth. John chapter 3, verses 16 through 18. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God." That's why it is so important for us to go, to do evangelism, personal evangelism especially, because people need to know about Jesus so they can believe and they can be saved. Luke chapter 12, verses 8 through 9, "And I tell you, everyone who acknowledges me," this is Jesus speaking, "everyone who acknowledges me before men, the Son of Man will also acknowledge before the angels of God. But the one who denies me before men will be denied before the angels of God." We have to tell people about Jesus. We have to acknowledge him. Let people know that we believe in Jesus. He's our Savior. He's our Lord. He's our God. He is the Messiah. And Jesus, when we're in heaven, he's going to say, "They proclaimed my name." This is one reason why when I give an altar call, if I'm preaching a service and I give an altar call, I don't ask people to bow their heads and close their eyes, because if we're going to acknowledge him, we need to acknowledge him before others. And if we're ashamed of him, then he's going to be ashamed of us. So let us acknowledge him and let people know that he's our Savior, he's our Lord. So evangelism comes through word of mouth. We're sharing the gospel, we're sharing the word of God, we're sharing our testimonies. But it also comes through action. Look at John chapter 13, verses 34 through 35. Jesus says, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." Man, if we will just love one another, show love to each other, that would stand out big time in this world. There is so much hatred out there. There is so much just people going against each other for so many different reasons. But if we love one another and we show forth his love, then people are going to know that we are disciples of Christ. And he tells us that people will know that. So if Jesus says it, it's true. And it is true. People will know that we're followers of Christ if we will just love one another. And people need to know that Jesus is the only way. That's another very important part of evangelism, because there's so many teachings out there about there's multiple ways to God, to eternal life, but there's not. John chapter 14, verse 6, Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Point blank, that's it. Jesus is the Son of God, and he's the only way to God. Think about it this way. Every other religion, if God was on top of a mountain, every other religion has to walk their way, climb their way up the mountain to God. In Christianity, God came down to man. Jesus came down to earth for us to bring us back into relationship with the Father. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and the only way to the Father. The Apostle Paul gives some great advice on evangelism in Colossians chapter 4, verses 2 through 6. Continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. At the same time, pray also for us, that God may open to us a door for the word, to declare the mystery of Christ, on account of which I am in prison, that I may make it clear which is how I ought to speak. Walk in wisdom toward outsiders. Make the best use of time. Let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you ought to answer each person. The Jesus Film website, which if you don't know anything about the Jesus Film, just go to jesusfilm.org. Awesome ministry tool there. But it points out six key things that Paul brings out, six elements of responsible evangelism. Number one, pray regularly for opportunities to share the gospel. If you're serious about sharing the good news, you will be asking God to give you more and more opportunities. Number two, be watching and thankful. Since you're praying for opportunities, you're going to be on the lookout for them, thankful when they occur. Number three, pray for opportunities for others to share the gospel clearly. You'll also pray for others to have opportunities to share the gospel and that they would do so with power and authority. Number four, be wise about how you treat outsiders. You'll learn to think of every conversation as an important part of your evangelism. It's not that you're always sharing the gospel, it's that you don't want to do anything that undermines you before you do. Number five, make the most of every opportunity. Making the most of your opportunities requires a lot of vigilance and grit. You need to be on guard to recognize your opportunities, and you need to have the resolve to take advantage of those opportunities when they surface. Number six, ensure that your conversations are full of grace. It's so important that we recognize that our conversations reflect the gospel, even when we're not talking about the gospel. So Paul gives us some incredible advice right there in Colossians. And as we wrap up real quickly here, the Apostle Peter, he has excellent advice as well in 1 Peter 3:15. But in your hearts, honor Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you, yet do it with gentleness and respect. Be ready all times to share the hope that's in you, Jesus, the hope of glory, but do it with gentleness, humbleness, respect. And then lastly, evangelism hastens the Lord's return. Jesus says in Matthew 24:14, and this gospel of the kingdom will be proclaimed throughout the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. Oh, I'm looking forward to the day Jesus comes back. Whether I'll be alive at that time or not, I don't know. But I do know I'll see Jesus face to face if I die first or if he comes back first before I die. But we need to get the word out, the gospel out, so Jesus can return. He can come back because he wants everyone to have a chance to hear him and to surrender to him. We are out of time. It just seemed like this 30 minutes went by so fast. But read the Great Commission. Do the Great Commission. Live the Great Commission. May God bless you and keep you, and may he cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May he lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.